This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Tom Gutterbach joins me live in studio. He is the director of the Center for Survey Research at the University of Virginia, online at virginia.edu/surveys. And he is the lead scholar on a team that is wrapping up a multi-year study evaluating the effects of the illegal immigration enforcement policies in Prince William County, Virginia. This is the closest laws we have in Virginia to what was passed, but court delayed, in the state of Arizona. So we finally have some hard data to look at when it comes to these aggressive laws regarding illegal immigration. Do they work, and what are the effects of these laws? We're honored to welcome Tom to the studio. And Tom, before we start our conversation, I just want to let folks know that this study, which you're wrapping up, has yet to be published, but what we'll get today is an exclusive preview on some of the findings that will be in the final report. Is that
That's
right?
That's exactly right. We expect to have it out end of September, early October. We'll give it to the county in September. They'll mess with it, and then it'll probably be released at the beginning of October.
So where is Prince William County for the folks who are just joining us from Des Moines and wondering where this county is?
Right. Well, almost everyone in Charlottesville has been in Prince William County. If you've driven up I-95, you've been there when you hit the traffic jam around Potomac Mills. And if you're driving up 66, that's when you hit the traffic jam at Gainesville. You know where the new Panera Bread is and the Wawa there? That's one end of Prince William County. It stretches from there all the way over to the Potomac River, and right in the middle of it is the city of Manassas and Manassas Park.
So Prince William County really is sort of, for us at least, it's sort of where Northern Virginia begins.
Yes, it is. It used to be, they say, if you're driving south, it's where the real Virginia began, because it used to be rural and very different from Northern Virginia, but it's become completely suburbanized. Suburban growth started there when the interstates were built, and a lot of the suburban areas are actually quite old and aging suburbs in Prince William, especially down on the Route 1 corridor, down along 95 and Woodbridge and so on. You know, a lot of houses built in the 70s and 80s. Not awful, but you drive by little brick bungalows, chain link fences. They're not the fancy places. In the western and northern part of the county around Haymarket, there's a lot of high-end development.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me now when this first came across your radar and the sort of sketch out for us, if you can, this team of scholars that has been doing this research, the scope of the research, and how you got involved.
Well, as a lot of people know, there was a huge controversy in Prince William County in 2007 because Republican members of the Board of Supervisors brought up very strong legislation, even stronger than the Arizona law, about suddenly that they wanted to have the police investigate anyone who might be illegal. And it was all over the papers. There was a protracted discussion, although it actually was resolved in about 3 or 4 months. And the climax was this Board of Supervisors meeting where they had public discussion from hundreds of people that went into 3 o'clock in the morning. And after hearing all the people, the board voted unanimously to implement this policy. We got involved because the police chief was, let's just say, reluctant to undertake this policy and told the board, well, we can do this if you want, but it'll cost about $4 million. And to his surprise, they said, okay, here's $4 million. And then part of those $4 million was some funds for an evaluation. The chief understood that this was something that needed to be studied, and he would want to have some expert input on whether it was working or not.
Yeah. We're talking with Tom Gutterbach of the Center for Survey Research at the University of Virginia, just wrapping up a multi-year study of illegal immigration enforcement policies in Prince William County. And I guess the exciting thing about this, Tom, is we finally have some hard data. We finally have some real research about these, anti-illegal immigration laws in America, and this right in our backyard, about whether they really work or not, but more importantly, what are the effects, good and bad?
Yeah, it really is exciting, and before I get to that, like you asked who's on it, I do want to mention that I've worked with some wonderful colleagues, Karen Walker, Milton Vickerman from here from UVA. We've done both quantitative and qualitative work. A criminologist from JMU, Tim Carter's on the project. And a lot of the work's being done by an outfit up in Northern Virginia called the Police Executive Research Forum. So we have some genuine police experts working with us. A real interdisciplinary thing. It's partly hard data, partly qualitative, talking to people, focus groups, and more soft side things. We've ridden along with the cops to see what's going on. So we have a pretty broad scope of things. One more thing. Our center has been doing surveys in Prince William County since 1993. So one reason I was asked to do it is that I've worked with the county for a long time, and we have about 17 years of survey data telling us, among other things, what everybody thinks of the police. So when we find changes, we have some data from before that we can compare it to.
Oh, that's fantastic context. You know, it provides a really rich comparisons, before and after comparisons. So can you, before we start talking about some of the findings, tell us now specifically what were the laws that went into effect that were controversial that you were really studying right. The effects of?
Yeah, what's really important is for everyone to understand that they do have a restrictive immigration enforcement policy in effect in Prince William since 2008, passed in 07, implemented in 08, but it is not the same as the Arizona law. The original policy that was passed was fairly similar because it required any officer in a legal stop, including, let's say, a traffic stop, that they were required to inquire about a person's immigration or citizenship status if there was reasonable suspicion that they were not legal. And the police department felt that this was really going to set them up for a lot of racial profiling lawsuits, because you can make a clear, there are clear legal definitions of what reasonable suspicion is. A cop could follow those guidelines, but someone could still say, hey, would you have stopped me if I didn't have brown skin? Would you stop me if I had spoken English? And then how do you fight those charges? So what they did was, working with the county attorney and response to some citizen work as well, and some of the representatives, the supervisors who were concerned about it, they ended up passing, again unanimously, a revised policy. And the policy that's now in effect and been in effect since the middle of 2008 is really very simple. Anyone who's arrested is subject to an inquiry after arrest on their citizenship or immigration status. If you're arrested or I'm arrested, hey, where were you born? Are you a citizen? And if we can't answer those questions and show a driver's license or something, there are going to be more questions, and they're going to go ahead and look you up.
So arrested, not like a traffic stop.
That's correct. A traffic stop doesn't count. The officer still has discretion under certain circumstances. Anywhere, any officer has discretion to make this inquiry, but they're not required to. What's now mandatory is that every arrested person gets the inquiry. So we now know everyone who's arrested in Prince William County, we know if they're legal or not.
Yeah. We're talking with Tom Gutterbach of the Center for Survey Research at the University of Virginia, wrapping up a multi-year study that will be published this fall, and we are getting an exclusive preview of some of the findings of the study. One important thing you said, though, and you and I have talked about this before, was, and I don't think most people know this, is that when a police officer stops someone for like a traffic stop or you're speeding or whatever, they have the ability now, a lot of them, to check on immigration status, do they not? And can they do that on their own, even if they're just curious?
They can, and it's sort of tied into the whole officer safety idea. So an officer has the right in any situation to keep himself or herself safe. So if you stopped a car and there were six guys in the car and they all look like from someone you never heard of and they're not speaking English, you know, you need to know what the situation is. So you can start to ask, you can actually not even just ask the driver, they could ask others. That's what I've been told in the trainings that I attended, but I'm not an expert on it. I do know that they have this discretion.
Yeah, and it requires, too, that jurisdiction subscribe to some link to the federal government, right? The computer interface?
Well, that's
right?
The 287G program, which is a voluntary program where localities can sign up to work with ICE and with the feds to look people up. And Prince William did decide to become part of that. So they have a set of officers who've been trained as 287G officers. It's essentially they're trained the same way ICE officers are. They have all the software and they can go in. To put it very simply, if I'm an officer and I stop someone, I get his name, there's a database I can look him up and see if there's a warrant from ICE to get that guy. But what if it's someone who's changed his name, uses six different names, and so it isn't give me his name? Then I have other tools that I can use, and that's what the 287G people can do.
So, Tom, tell us first now the goals of the study, and then let's talk about some of the findings that y'all...
Yeah, we were asked to evaluate this. When you do an evaluation of a government policy, you say, what are you trying to do? Did you get it done? So that was actually not so easy because people argued about what this was for. Was it just racist? Was it just was it an ordinary policy or unusual? What we finally came up with was the following. First thing that they wanted to do with this policy was they wanted to improve public safety and reduce crime. And there's a very broad consensus. Everybody agrees that someone who does serious criminal acts and is not here legally ought to be deported. There's a great consensus on that. They definitely wanted to reduce the number of illegal immigrants in the county. Everyone should understand that Prince William had had a huge upsurge in its Hispanic population, including some illegals, of course. And in terms of numbers, there are about 350,000 people live in this county, and the Hispanic percentage went from 10 to 20% in just a space of 3 or 4 years between 2000 and 2006. So it's about 60,000 Hispanic people living in this community. It's a fairly large number of people. They wanted to save money by delivering fewer services to illegal immigrants, and I'll tell you right now, we have no data on that. I don't think they saved any money, but we don't have any data on it. They wanted to reduce some problems they were having with overcrowded housing and with disorder in the neighborhoods. You know, there'd be a house with 16 guys working construction, parking on the lawns, partying at night, and so on. Neighbors would complain. They had a lot of these issues going on.
And that was one of the first things that really got people upset, right, that led to this new law.
Yeah, that's one of the ironies of the whole thing. This really was, it wasn't like a big crime wave. There were some problems with robberies, because especially because illegal immigrants are great targets for robbery, and so they had to act on that. But it probably wasn't really a crime problem in the way of think of it as a crime wave. There were criminal acts, you know, public drunkenness and so on, and disorderly conduct and some of these zoning issues.
But the real problem was that people started noticing, oh my gosh, there's all these people are living in this house next door, and there's like, you know, 10 cars on the lawn.
That's what we hear the most complaints about in our surveys. That's what the really presenting problem was. Now, at the same time, there was two other goals that are really important. They wanted to maintain this police department has a great reputation for professionalism. It's a very, very, it's a very well-managed department. And they wanted to maintain that reputation for being fair to all citizens. And they also wanted to maintain Prince William's reputation as an inclusive community. And that's what they were trying to do with this policy.
Right, right. So now let's look at some of the, how did they do?
We've kept everyone in suspense, haven't we?
What was the results of this law?
The result is mixed. They did well on some of these things. They didn't so well on others. So maybe I'll go right through and summarize, and then we can go back
and then we'll explore that.
So the first thing is we know for sure that the number of illegal immigrants in the county did go down. And the Hispanic, there was an effect on the Hispanic population, which had been rising much faster than the metropolitan area up till 2006. And afterwards, although it's growing much more slowly than the rest of the area. So there was a real impact on how many people were there. Some people left, fewer people coming in. There are effects on crime, we think. Let me rephrase that. There are interesting changes in some of the crime statistics that might be causally related or might not be. There are other explanations for it. This is where our data are really ambiguous. Those who favor the policy will say, look at this crime stat, and those who are against it will say, look at these, and it could be other things. And we just have to leave it there. We aren't really able to make a causal connection there. We don't know if they saved any money. We do know it costs some money to put this into effect. But what's really important on the other side is that there was a huge change in how the Hispanic community viewed the police, viewed the community, and viewed the local government. So our surveys where we ask everybody, both Hispanics and non-Hispanics, about the police department, the Hispanics had been very favorable to the police. They loved living in Prince William County. They wanted to continue living there. They gave it higher quality of life ratings than the non-Hispanics. That all went into the toilet in 2008 when this policy went into effect. And for the first time in our data, there's this big ethnic divide with Hispanics versus non-Hispanics differing in their trust in government, their quality of life rating, rating of the police, the attitudes and the fairness of the police. Big gaps. Now, when we surveyed in 2009, after the policy had been in effect for a year, these gaps started to close. So there seems to be some healing here as the policy's been in effect, people get used to it, and so on. There's one more thing I have forgotten to mention that's very important, that the implementation was actually very smooth and much smoother than a lot of people thought. The police trained everybody in the new policy, the original policy. Then they retrained them for the changed policy. There weren't any racial profiling lawsuits. There were no rogue cops going around rounding people up. We have no evidence of that. There was no overburden on the beat cops. People were worried they'll be so busy doing immigration stuff they can't do their job. There's no shadow of that. It's really kind of a routine part of business, especially because this all takes place after arrest. So if you're an officer and arrest somebody, you're taking several hours off anyway, and part of that now is this immigration check that's done by the people.
And is this a different thing from the Arizona law? Didn't the Arizona law deal with checking you know, with a routine stop?
The Arizona law is more like that original policy that any officer who stops someone on a routine stop, if there's reasonable suspicion, they're supposed to do an immigration check on the spot.
Yeah, the Prince William County.
Prince William did that for 3 months without great incident, and so it's probably a more workable policy than a lot of people are saying right now, but it is different. I mean, the results I'm reporting are really attributable to this current version of the policy. Another ironic thing here is that it's not clear that if the police had just quietly started doing this, that it would have made any difference at all. Again, there was this big hoopla about it. It was all over the press. The Hispanic press especially played it up. Don't go into Prince William County, un territorio prohibida, they said. You know, that was the headline in the Washington Hispanic on the day this thing went into effect. So they scared the crap out.
We're talking with Tom Guterbach. He is the director of the Center for Survey Research at the University of Virginia, online at virginia.edu/surveys. So let's just pick up right where we left off. What else jumps out at you from the results of this study that I should just remind folks, if you're just joining us, the Center for Survey Research has led a scholarly team to study the enforcement policy, the illegal immigration enforcement policy in Prince William County, Virginia, a multi-year study. The laws there are the closest thing we have here in Virginia to the laws passed in Arizona.
Well, a couple of things we didn't mention yet. We've asked people in our surveys, what do you think about how the police are doing in implementing the policy? And there the news is good for the police. About 85% approve. There are a small number, maybe 6 or 7%, who say, well, I can't give approval to the police because I think the policy is bad. There are those people, and we count them, but it's clear that the great majority of people are satisfied that the police are doing this adequately. And there is a gap, as I said, between Hispanics and non-Hispanics, but in our most recent survey, overall rating of the police is about 93% positive for non-Hispanics, about 85% positive for Hispanics. So you don't want to draw the conclusion that everyone who's Hispanic in Prince William is dissatisfied with police. But there is a gap. If you're Hispanic, you're less likely to be satisfied. And when we ask about specific questions like the fairness of the police to all people, regardless of nationality, then you really get a fairly big gap between Hispanics and non-Hispanics.
And just to distinguish again, the law in Prince William County, as finally implemented, basically says that anyone arrested that's suspected of being an illegal immigrant.
Anyone who is arrested, no matter what, is checked.
Anyone who was arrested. Yeah. And that's how they avoided any possible lawsuits about profiling.
Right.
Because they said this law applies to everybody.
Right. I mean, if, you know, in your case, I assume you were born in the States, Coy, they probably ask where you were born. They look at your license. In my case, I wasn't born in this country. I'm the son of immigrants. I was born overseas, so I'd have to show them the number of my certificate of citizenship or something like that, or assure them of that. They'd ask me some questions if I was arrested.
So one of the interesting findings of your study, and again, this has yet to be published. We're getting an exclusive preview of the results of the study here. It'll be published this fall. Finally, some hard data now about cracking down some of these aggressive illegal immigration policies in America. One of the most interesting things is you can conclusively say that the number of legal immigrants in Prince William County did go down substantially.
Yeah, and how do we know that? Because you can't count immigrants, illegal immigrants.
Right,
They're not counted in the census. No one keeps track. So how do you do that? Well, first of all, we had informant data. I mean, there was all in the papers. This is what the Washington Post and everyone were saying, that suddenly the clubs had gone dark. No one was showing up at the swimming pools. And the people from the recreation department, the soccer leagues, you know, almost collapsed. No one was signing up for soccer anymore. So we had that kind of thing, but maybe people were just staying home. The census now, they got rid of the long form, and they have this thing called the American Community Census, where they issue yearly census figures now for any sizable locality, any place that has more than 65,000 people in it. So Prince William, we now have annual population data. When you look at that, as I mentioned, the percent Hispanics leveled off instead of increasing as it had been. But when you look specifically at young Hispanic males, there is a 26% decrease in 20 to 24-year-old Hispanic males in a two-year period starting right when the policy went down.
So nearly a third of young Hispanic males
are out of there.
Yeah.
And the rest of the metropolitan area, they are down by about 4%. It gets you to one of the issues that many people ask. How can you tell that it's the policy? There was a lot of other stuff going on. Prince William was terribly hit by the mortgage crisis. They had this incredible construction boom and boom in property values, and then a huge collapse. Isn't it just that the construction jobs dried out and people left because of the job situation?
Right.
Well, that situation wasn't just in Prince William County. It collapsed in Loudoun. It collapsed all over the metro area. And so, again, if we think when we look at the timing of this change and its specificity just to Prince William so much more than elsewhere, it really does seem that that's got to be a result of the policy.
Interesting.
Another thing that we have now that's going to shed some light where there has been only darkness is that because now for a year and a half they've been recording the status of everyone they arrest, we know how many of the people arrested are illegal. It isn't very many. That's a very important thing I want to emphasize. Many people know this. Illegal immigrants aren't really associated with a lot of crime. As everyone says, and as we all know, there's mostly a very hardworking group of people out there trying to make a living and send money back home to mom. But overall, of all the people arrested in this large county, only 3% turned out to be illegal immigrants. However, there were about 1,000 arrested each year who did turn out to be illegal. And many of these are then detained and a few probably deported by ICE. They're turned over to ICE, not in every case, but if the crime is serious, they are turned over. Originally, they were turning everyone over and ICE was taking them, and then they sort of said, no, we can't take all these people. And they started just taking those who were more guilty of more serious crimes. Interestingly, of all the people arrested, they're mostly fairly minor offenses. I don't want to be careful of calling them minor. There are 75% are just three different offenses that account for these 1,000 arrests of illegals in a year in Prince William County. Drunk in public, driving without a license, and driving under the influence. And of course, DUI is not a minor offense. That could be potentially very serious. But those are the nature of the offenses, and only 25% of these were for all the other possible crimes.
Yeah. So the vast majority, 97 out of 100 people arrested during the study period in Prince William County, were not illegal immigrants.
Correct.
Three out of 100 were.
Right.
And of those three out of 100 folks who were, the vast majority of crimes they were committing were things like drunk in public.
That's correct.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a myth then to say that illegal immigrants are committing great numbers of crimes, and number two, that the crimes they're committing are things like rape or burglary or assaults or things like this.
Right. There wasn't a single none of the murder arrests were for illegal immigrants. There were three rape arrests for illegal immigrants out of several score. There was one interesting exception, the unexpected result that I find kind of amusing, for prostitution. 27% of those were arrested for that offense were illegal immigrants. They were women from Asia. They weren't the people that everyone was talking
about.
Not
the Hispanics.
No, and the criminal alien unit that they set up now has these terrific tools for getting at the massage parlors and this little problem they had on Route 1. So kind of an unexpected result of all this is they did a much better job of cleaning up that issue in the county.
We're talking with Tom Guterbach. He is the director of the Center for Survey Research at the University of Virginia, online at virginia.edu/surveys, wrapping up a multi-year study of the illegal immigration enforcement policy in Prince William County, Virginia, which is the closest thing we have here in Virginia to the laws passed in Arizona. This study, we're getting an exclusive preview of the study findings. The study will actually be published this fall. The phone lines are open now at 977-1070. Your thoughts about the results of the study? You want to share your opinion about illegal immigration in Virginia? And I guess one question I would have for the listeners at this point, and invite you to give us a call, is would you support the chairman of the Prince William County, who helped to put these laws into effect, Corey Stewart, now leading a statewide effort to bring Arizona-type immigration laws to the Commonwealth of Virginia statewide? Would you support that? 977-1070 is the phone number, and that is the question for you. Do you want to see more laws like this in Virginia, or do you think the laws are adequate? And I find that really, really interesting, though, the findings about criminality, because that really gets to, and it speaks to one of the goals about making the community safer, and it really gets to, I think, what most people think of when they think about illegal immigration, and especially from the very far right-wing press like Fox News, any severe crime that's committed by an illegal immigrant, they beat that drum really hard, and yet the data doesn't show that that's really what's happening.
Yeah, well, this whole thing is fraught with many ironies. So as I said at the beginning, the police were used, the police policy was put into place to fight a problem that really presented itself not through criminal behavior, but through problems in the neighborhoods. By the way, I think I kind of forgot to mention that they did get some progress there, too. So the number of overcrowded housing complaints went way down. The big problem in Prince William is vacant housing because of the mortgage crisis. It's a different problem that they have in the neighborhoods now, although that's also getting better. So the police went ahead with this policy, and it's mostly these fairly minor problems of public order is what I would call them.
Yeah.
Now, in saying that, I got to say one other thing that's you got to don't forget about Rudy Giuliani and New York and all that. So it has been argued, and some people think demonstrated, that if you don't address problems of order, then that can lead to more serious crime.
Right, right.
So, and I think if you're sitting on top of a county government listening to citizens call in, these are some of these issues are the kinds of things that are everyday stuff of government. I've got a problem in my neighborhood. You got to do something. So I think the government felt like they had to respond. One of the reasons they went through the police, I think, for this is because earlier attempts to draft ordinances that would, for example, restrict a house to only family members or put an arbitrary limit on the number of people who could live in a house were struck down by the courts. That was tried in the city of Manassas, and the courts overturned the law. So then the right-wing groups that were anti-immigration came up with this new way of attacking the problem, and that then was passed.
So the solution, what, they couldn't find it through zoning. They had to go through police enforcement.
Right.
Yeah.
I read in the Post something interesting yesterday. A scholar wrote a piece about it. It's on the op-ed page in Sunday's Post. And he used an expression that I hadn't heard before. It fits very well. Attrition by enforcement. That the idea here is if you have stronger enforcement and you keep, you know, arresting those who are illegal, your place will be less attractive to them, and that population will dwindle. And that does seem to be what happened in Prince William, that for either because people left or because fewer people came in, we see the number of births to Hispanic women in the county is down, the number of kids enrolled in English as a second language is down. All the indicators of Hispanic presence, especially of the less assimilated groups, are down, indicating, I would guess, if I had to, about 2,000 people left.
We're talking with Tom Guterbach. He's director of the Center for Survey Research at the University of Virginia, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Well, that was the one question I had for you, based on the years that you've spent now looking at this story and this in this county in Virginia, the effect of these laws actually did seem to work in this one simple fact that the number of illegal immigrants did go down. And I guess you've got enough anecdotal evidence to say that the word got out among illegal immigrants that, hey, Prince William County is not a good place to be.
Well, we have direct evidence from some of our in-person interviews, you know, of people expressing the fear or the fear that they had or people moved away. And plus we have these census data. But I think the takeaway lesson for me is this, that when this first went forward, there were people who said, a local government can't do anything about illegal immigration. Look, it's a national problem. It's driven by economics, right? The employers are hiring illegals and they don't get punished. There's all this benefit to business from the cheap labor. You're fighting an economy. The borders are open. So what are you going to do? And I do think that this is saying that if you want to spend the millions that they spent in Prince William and train all your officers and implement a policy, yes, it'll have an effect on this flow of people, but it comes at a really serious cost. There was a lot of dollars spent, and there was this very large social cost in a county where there'd been relative peace, harmony, and unanimity about how good services were. Suddenly you have this racial divide, and that gets in the way of police work. If people aren't reporting crime, if they're scared of the police, that's not good for anybody's safety.
So it can be done. It's just how much money do you want to spend to train your local police force to do a federal job?
It can be done, and at what cost is the question we have to ask.
Yeah,
exactly.
And according to the numbers that we got in from Prince William County, it's millions of dollars.
Yes.
Yeah, the at least $4 million, and they wanted more, but they decided to go with $4 million and stop there. But that did result in training a number of officers to make these, to become ICE agents, literally.
Well, all the officers are trained in the fundamentals of this, what is the law, what does our new policy mean, what is reasonable suspicion, when can you do this. They had training on how to tell a fraudulent ID, so they got better at that. And by the way, the criminal alien unit has done a pretty good job of cleaning up the people who make the false IDs. That's another little thing that they've, I think they've done a good job there because of the special training they've had, and they've gone after those people. There was a lot of time the senior staff spent huge amounts of time doing community meetings and trying to educate people. It needs to be said that the policy is very clear in Prince William County. No one will be checked for their immigration status if they report a crime or if they're a witness to a crime. It's only those who are arrested. And so they've tried very hard not to have people stop reporting. But one of the reasons we're so cautious about interpreting the crime statistics is that if there was a lowered reporting rate from Hispanics, then the crime data would go down as a result of lower reporting. Not that the crimes aren't happening, but they're not being called into the cops. And we really don't know if that's happening. It probably is to some extent, and we can't disentangle that from any changes in actual crime that may have occurred.
My guest is Tom Guterbach, director of the Center for Survey Research at the University of Virginia. Tom, before I let you go, I'm just curious if you could reflect for a moment as a scholar and as a researcher, as you go to now publish these findings, which I'm sure has already started to attract some national attention, it really would appear that the results could be used by both sides. I mean, I could see, you know, the folks who are against these type of harsh anti-illegal immigration policies using some of your data, and certainly some folks who are in support of them using the data as well.
I'm sure that will be done, and I think the most important thing for everyone to realize that when they look at our data is to remember that this policy is not the one that was proposed in Arizona, and it is different from the one that Mr. Stewart is now proposing for the state as a whole. His suggestion is more like the original policy, and we don't really have a good, strong test of that policy and how it would work if there was officer discretion about who to ask and who not to ask. So this particular implementation of the policy in this place under these circumstances had some, as I said, mixed results. They achieved some of their objectives. They had some unfortunate costs as well, social costs. What I've told my colleagues is that we're going to put the facts out there. We're going to show the results we have. People definitely are going to grab out of there what they want, and those who are pro and those who are con are going to use it as ammunition, and we really can't stop that. We hope that, as anyone does, that we can inform the debate, and some of what we've found will rule out some of the more extreme claims that are made in these debates.
Tom Guterbach, he's director of the Center for Survey Research at the University of Virginia. You can check it online at virginia.edu/surveys. Tom, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Coy. It's been a great pleasure to be here.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.